Well, welcome back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You are listening to Your World Today. I seem to have my tongue in knots this afternoon. We are going to be talking soon, inshallah, to Peter St-Pierre, who is in Haiti. And we're going to be speaking to him with regards to the Haitian police who have arrested the head of the Juvenal Moïse security team as part of the ongoing investigation into the president's July 7th assassination. Now, security chief Jean-Le Guel Civil is suspected of involvement in the plot that saw Moïse killed at his home in the middle of the night by armed commandos who bypassed the president's guards without firing a shot. And Civil has been placed in solitary confinement at a prison in Delmas near the capital, Port-au-Prince. So inshallah, we'll be getting more information with regards to that. An interesting fact that I just learned was that the first person of color to fly a plane in South Africa was actually of Turkish descent and came from the Cape and was related to the activist Zeybunisa Osisi Gül. And he, many years ago, flew planes here in South Africa, and he was given the status of Cape Malay. And his father was very upset about that and wanted to know why all people who wore red fezes were given that particular status instead of being classified, you know, as they should at the time. But they were always classified as Cape Malay. Later on, after many years, in 1948, in a very unusual way, he was then classified or reclassified as white. So just a bit of a story that I received or learned about just recently looking at some of the TikTok. Now, I don't know how many people follow that, but there are some little tiny bits of information that you can get from TikTok that are quite relevant, and others that can actually drive a person quite crazy because of some of the silly things that you do see on there. But I suppose it's people's way of, you know, just trying to let off steam, or in some cases, I think many people just do it because they kind of like the attention. So that's one of the things I learned today. Then also we see that Rwanda is denying hacking President Cyril Ramaphosa's phone. It says that it was said that Rwanda had denied that it tapped the president's devices, and Ramaphosa was allegedly identified for surveillance by Rwandan spooks in 2019. Rwanda's foreign affairs minister, Dr. Vincent Biruta, said the country does not use the Pegasus software that at the time was what they said was used to hack our president's phones. And this is what we're getting some of the news reports coming through. The Pegasus Project is a collaborative international investigative journalism project that uncovered a data leak of more than 50,000 numbers of individuals believed to be selected for cyber surveillance by the NSO group, an Israeli cybersecurity firm. So we are going now to talk to Peter St-Pierre. As I said, he's live out of Haiti, and we are going to be speaking about the arrest of the top security chief that took place earlier. So, Mr. Pierre, are you with us? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I am with you.
Thank you for being with us this afternoon. I think it may be earlier for you, though.
Yes, it is earlier for me. It's 11:15 at this time on my time zone.
All right. So we like a whole almost half a day ahead of you, it seems. But that's okay. We'd like to listen to what's happened. So if you could maybe give us a little bit of an idea with regards to the supporters of Jovenel Moïse interrupted the mass as they cried out and accused Haiti's elite of killing the president.
Well, actually, this can be understood in two ways. Firstly, the president was from Cap Haitien.
Yes.
And his murder happened in Port-au-Prince.
Right.
So his supporters were saying that his murderers were from Port-au-Prince. That is one of the reasons they wanted to interrupt the funeral. Mm-hmm. The second reason is because the activists, his supporters, believe that if the funeral would take place, then it would be the end of everything, the end of the investigation, and nothing else would happen. So they were trying to prevent the funeral from happening so that, you know, the investigation could continue.
Okay. So there have been arrests made, and top security chief has been arrested in the murder investigation. What is the latest with regards to that?
Well, the charges against them are firstly that it had been reported that he went many times to Colombia. He traveled about 10 times to Colombia without the president knowing it. That is one. And secondly, also they found weapons, about 200 weapons, military weapons, at his place, at his house. Mm-hmm. And that he bought weapons without the authorization of the president. So those are the charges against him. So we do not have any updates yet. Mm-hmm. Regarding his arrest. Mm-hmm.
So what is the mood like? I mean, Al Jazeera asked one of the citizens of the, you know, in Haiti with regards to how he felt regarding the situation. And he said, if a president is killed in his own home, who is exempt? Is there fear, amongst the people of Haiti right now?
Yes, it's the general feeling at this time. I felt the same. Because mm-hmm. if the supreme chief of the country can be murdered just like that at his home,
yes.
then an ordinary citizen like me or anyone else is really nothing. We can be murdered any time. So it's general feeling of fear all over the country.
So amidst all of this political crisis that Haiti is experiencing at the moment, you've appointed a new prime minister, Ariel Henry. What does he bring to the table for Haitians?
What I can say is that he has been a minister before that. He was a minister of Interior from January to September 2015. He was also the Minister of Social Affairs and in 2015. Now, the question is not what he brings on the table, is mm-hmm. what will he do? Because so far he hasn't said anything. We don't know if he will continue with the Electoral Council, the same Electoral Council that exists for now. We don't know if he will continue, if he will pursue the referendum that the president initiated, and we don't know if he will still maintain the elections in September. Uh-huh. So all of these questions are still unanswered, and we don't know. But so mm-hmm. far, there is a relative, I would not say peace really, but it's like the opposition is observing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We're still observing. We're kind of observing because he hasn't made any official declarations in what he will do. So we are waiting.
Mm-hmm. So do you think there's foreign intervention behind the current crisis that Haiti is experiencing?
So far, I can say that the core group, if I may, that's the name given to the friends of Haiti. You're talking about Germany, uh-huh. France, United States, Canada, Brazil. So far, they have been very passive. They have been very passive, and they've failed many times in their attempts, either by their envoy, different commissions tried to sort things out, but things did not work out very well. I don't know. They've been very passive so far, so I would not take a chance to say they are behind the crisis.
All right.
No.
So, mm-hmm. at a time like this, one of the questions I'm sure that many people will ask, are people in Haiti feeling hopeful, at least for the future?
It's a general sense of uncertainty. This mm-hmm. is what I can say. And I can personally tell you that a lot of people that I know are leaving the country definitely. And for those of us who are here, we don't know what to expect. It's a general sense of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. It's the general feeling, because there are many issues to be addressed, the level of insecurity and other factors as well. So, yeah. It's basically it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us and giving us an update with what's happening. I think if you follow what's happening in South Africa, I think we generally feeling the same way right now with what's happened in parts of South Africa. But I think all of South Africa is also sitting with a lot of uncertainty because we've had a few, it's a bit of anarchy. I wouldn't even say a bit. For some of us that lived through it, it was quite harrowing. So I'm sure that, you know, we can relate as one country to another with what's happening right now. But thank you for your time, and we do appreciate it, and we keep you in our prayers.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
And it's my pleasure, and I wish you the best of luck.
Oh, we wish you that too. Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you
very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.